Hey fam, thanks for listening to the Better Man Podcast. This season, the podcast is brought to you by Aroga Drive, one of my favorite energy supplements. If you're looking for all-day clean energy that won't let you crash and burn, Drive is the one. Stop pounding the coffee, stop crushing the Red Bulls. Instead, take Aroga Drive one time in the morning and you're good for the rest of the day. Check it out in the show notes or visit arogadrive.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Better Man Podcast. My name is Adam Tarno. Today, we got a repeat guest with us, Peter Ostapko. He was back on the podcast way back in November 2022. So those of you keeping score at home, I think that was episode 26 that he was on a while ago, talking all about the Kinsman Journal, which was this new ministry resource that he had been creating, and it is now his full-time gig. And so Kinsman is an organization, a ministry that's out there that is feels like their mission is to curate deep conversations among men to help them to be more faithful, better fathers, and with their work. And so Peter and I have an interesting conversation today where we're having a conversation about conversations, a conversation specifically about deep conversations and the role that deep conversations play in the life of a man. So he's incredibly thoughtful and articulate. You're going to love hearing some stories about what Kinsman has going on. And you're going to wish that you lived in Springfield, Missouri. That's what you're going to wish, to be around some of these gatherings that he and others are putting on, because they just sound amazing. So enjoy. For those of you getting to know him for the first time and those that remember hearing him a couple of years ago, enjoy hearing from our friend Peter. Peter, welcome back to the Better Man Podcast. Good to have you here today.
Oh, thank you, Adam. So honored to be here.
Okay, give us an update, because it's been probably 2 years. Somebody can go back in the archive. I'm sure there's a Better Man. The president of the Better Man Fan Club probably knows exactly when you were on, but I'll go back in my own mental archives and go, it's probably 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And so let's do this. Give everybody a quick update. What is the Kinsman Journal? What is it doing now as an organization?
Yeah.
And just give us a little update there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was in the business world for, you know, nearly 15 years. And one thing that you have to do is establish a minimum viable product. So we published this journal about 2 years ago, put it out into the world. We printed 2,000 copies. We strategically gave away about half, sold the other half. And we were just kind of obedient for the next 18 months and just in the small, the detail, the mundane, and whatever the Lord brought our way. And we were just kind of taking inventory and learning. And one thing we were finding was guys are very hungry. They're hungry for the right content, the right conversations, the right space to engage in dialogue, specifically at the intersection of these three, faith, fatherhood, and work. I heard time and again, something to similar to this. It's, you know, this journal is speaking my language. Everything that I'm thinking about as a man in this period of, or in this time of my life, this speaks to. And so we put it out there. We ran out last summer, we knew we were going to do a reprint. So we waited to do that the right way. And so we actually just finished a reprint of volume one as a coffee table book.
Okay.
And we made a couple minor stylistic changes inside, but we also, we actually ended the journal with kind of a call to action and acceptance, or just an invitation to follow Jesus, because people are using it as an evangelistic tool, but also in discipleship and just in encouragement. So that's the book itself. We are giving away the book in audio form through our podcast, Faith, Fatherhood, and Work. And then we launched into these gatherings, which have been really, really special, just curated invite-only gatherings for men. We've held three of them here in our region. We've held a couple in some other states. And they've just been really meaningful places for guys to connect in a really deep, authentic way. And so I tell people we're building the plane as we fly it. You know, we're moving from a singular product to an actual organization. And so I will tell you the most important thing that I tell people we're doing right now, that I'm doing, is just praying what to say yes to. You know, I think when you're in a ministry type of a space and organization, you quickly find out that the need is always overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to say yes to just about anything. And so we're just discerning, what do we say yes to? What's the right thing? Where has the Lord prepared the way for us? And so we're just walking into that. So
that's awesome. And one of the things you said yes to was changing your full-time job, right?
Because
15 years. And I mean, listen, when, and you're very humble saying, hey, I was in the professional world. You were working for a bank, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And that was probably not an easy decision just to walk away from that and go, let's leave stability and go onto a plane that's not built yet. That sounds fun. Right?
Yeah. Well, I knew 100% true. Banking was a great career. It's a wonderful profession. I worked for a community bank, a true community bank here, and really enjoyed the work. But as we launched this 2 years ago and just been faithful in the margins before and after. The kids woke up, went to bed, didn't really do a lot, you know, on the weekends or during the holidays. I tried not to. I really wanted to just, you know, be with my family. But there was only a certain amount of time where I could, you know, stay up that late or get up that early. Yeah. I'm like, okay, we're going to have to make a decision here. And just, you know, last year, there was this momentum that started building more and more. We were getting invited to be a part of certain gatherings and people were just taking interest in what we were doing. And early in the year, my wife and I just started praying about it. And I even talked to my boss. I said, hey, you know, I love where I am. I'm not looking to go anywhere, but you know, just we're praying through what this looks like for the next 6 to 12 months. And he's like, hey, I understand. And then came the summer, the early summer. And I mean, there was just an intensity that was building. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't believe that the end of the summer is going to look the same as it does at the beginning. And I even asked about negotiating, you know, a salary and wage for additional days off and just kind of working into like a hybrid type of a role. You know, I built a portfolio that was very profitable for the bank. But at the same time, I wanted to honor them because, you know, they have a certain way in which they want to do business. And I wanted to be able to do that with excellence and what they wanted. But my wife came to me in the middle of the summer and she goes, Peter, it was after a service on Sunday. We came home, kids were outside and we're in the front room. And she just looks at me and she goes, you have my support. I believe that where God is leading and taking us, I'm all in and I support you and let's do this. And I had a couple of friends of mine and people that I was talking about this with and praying through. And one of them said, Peter, you know, it's not like you can't go back and get a job, you know?
That's right.
And I'm still young enough to make these types of decisions or risks, you know, it was funny. I mean, a lot of people are just like, wait, you're doing what? You're really going
you're
for
what?
It? I was like, yeah, we're just
that magazine thing.
Yeah,
you're gonna do that magazine.
Yeah. I mean, it's a brilliant idea. Like you go, you know, in a digital first, you know, world, you're gonna lead, a print publication company, and yeah,
that's
absolutely,
right.
It's a great idea.
That makes a lot of sense.
So, but you know, I really just had a peace, and the Lord's like, listen, I've given you enough. If you want this, if you want to be a part of this adventure, you got to come after it. And so, we just said yes. And so, we're learning as we go. There's some days where I'm like, this is the most amazing thing. And other days I'm like, what in the world am I doing?
Yeah.
I think that's really the journey of every follower of Christ, I believe. So.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Regardless. Yeah,
whether or not they admit it or not. So
that's right. That's right. Well, listen, if I was a part of your small group, in your community, and you even told me what Kinsman was going to do, what the mission was going to be, because if you go to the Kinsman website right now, it says right there on the cover or on that homepage, something about curating deep conversations among men around these topics of faith, fatherhood, and work. Listen, Peter, I would have to be honest. I'd have to raise my hand and go, do you understand your target market? Like men and deep conversations typically don't go together. And so help me understand that. So tell me a little bit more of that, because I'm really fascinated. So what I want to do is I want to talk to you about deep conversations. So we're going to have a conversation about deep conversations, specifically as it relates to men, because I think there's so much that you can help men with and help us with on this. But what inspired you really to explore this realm of deep conversations? Can you think back to a moment?
Yeah, I mean, I would say real quick, in the last few months, we've really centered in on that phrase, we curate deep conversations, because people were like, okay, you're doing this print thing and you have your podcast and your gatherings, like what are you in the business of? And we actually sat down with this brilliant marketing executive that in his industry, he was in the food marketing industry, was one of the most well-known like in the world. He'd fly people in from all over the world. And he's like, I really like what you're doing here. Let's talk about it. I was like, okay, well, you say yes to something like that.
Yeah.
And he goes, I see what you're doing, but I don't really know exactly like, what are you in the business of? And so he helped us really kind of nail that down. And what I have found, or what we have found just in the last couple of years, is that guys are very interested in engaging in meaningful dialogue, But a lot of times the approach to those conversations have become a bit antiquated in existing settings, or they become very combative, or, you know, led with friction or even sometimes shame.
Yeah.
And so I've just thought, you know, I think there's a different way where we can approach some of these topics that is more relatable, where we create environments and spaces where it's understood that this is a professional environment or this is an environment of excellence. And it just allows dialogue to go that place to that place.
Yeah.
And I know it's not easy to do that. And we're learning as we go. But I guess what I've just found is I think in a lot of contexts, we're just as a whole, I think we've been asking the wrong questions, or we've been going about it a way that is just not resonating with a certain segment of men, not all men.
Yeah.
But what I found is there's a whole demographic within the church, guys who give to their church, they love their church, they attend, but they're not really engaged in the heartbeat of what's happening. And it doesn't mean that they don't love their church. It's just, they typically have very, very, you know, very strong demands outside of church. They're very busy people. And they're looking for ways to engage in their faith, with their faith, in culture, in their workplace, in their community, in ways that are maybe a little bit non-traditional.
Yeah.
And that just seems like the space where we're really settling in. And I see ourselves as really almost a companion to the church. I mean, churches are doing wonderful things. And I think there's just new ways that we can go about reaching and connecting and galvanizing men. So some of these events that we've been doing, these table gatherings, they have a strong sense of locality and community. Mm-hmm. We honor men in the room, and that really disarms, I think, the surface veneer that most guys have. And so there's a place for honor in saying, you know, I love you, I respect you, we want to celebrate what you're doing in our community, in our region, and doing it in a way that's authentic, where it's not transactional, it's not, you know, it's not fleeting, if you will.
Yeah.
And all of these things have come together in these spaces, and it's resulted in these types of meaningful, deep conversations where guys are like, no, let's go here. I want to talk about some of these deeper things of purpose and meaning. And, you know, of course there's some of the traditional conversations about, you know, mistakes and failures and you know, addictions and all that kind of stuff, but it's done in a different way. And I think guys are like, hey, I really like the way that we're talking about this, the way that we're approaching it. And I want some more of that. So
paint another picture here, or continue to paint the picture of these table gatherings. So, you said invite only. About how many people would be there? Because I think that'll help us get our arms around. Is this, because if we think men's gathering, a lot of times we think the men's breakfast that has, you know, 75 to 150 guys there. We all sit around a table. There's a talk. They give us a discussion question. It's kind of awkward. But I get the picture that you're not painting that picture, right? Like,
no.
This is something a little bit more, a little different.
Yeah, it is a little different. How the amount of guys in the room, though, really has varied. So the ones we've done here, I'll just say the very first one we did was last June. And I sent an email. So I built out a spreadsheet of basically 10 different industries that were in my community. So I had nonprofit, I had pastoral, but then I had manufacturing, I had retail, I had financial, CPA, I had, you know, entrepreneurial, I had creative. And I just built out about 15 names in each of those. I had about 150 guys that I listed out. And a lot of these people were decision makers, they're leaders, business leaders. Some of them are employees. They just, you know, they work in their profession. But I sent out 105 emails to the first round of guys, and I had a room booked for 100. And I sent out 105 emails, and I had 82 RSVPs within 2 weeks. Guys are like,
what?
I'll be there. Yeah. So either God just gifted me with the ability to write a really good, compelling email.
Yeah.
Or I think we were just speaking to something. But I did say something in the email. I said, this is not for everybody. You carry influence in your company and in this community, and you need to be in this room with other brothers in Christ.
Did you have a personal connection with all of them?
Like, I did.
Okay.
So not all of them. I mean, some of them knew of me and we knew of each other, but we didn't like know each other. But I would say about 75% of them I did. So that's one of the things. It's like, you know, as we go into other markets, as we've done that, a lot of those, the success we've seen is because there's one or two or three people that they know the heartbeat of what's happening in their community, and they're bringing those people together. But sent this out, had all these guys. Our first one, we had 100. And every single one of the guys, or most of them, said, like, I got a guy or two that I would love to bring. But I knew bigger isn't better in this sense.
Okay.
And so we've had three of them, and the most we'll have is about 125 to 130.
Okay.
And yeah, so we have a space problem, but you know, the depth, the compounding though, that has happened in these rooms now that we've had three of them, like the last one, I mean, I couldn't get the guys to stop talking so we could actually begin the evening. Guys hung around 30 minutes past longer than when we had the space. And we do these during the week. We don't want to compete with what's happening on the weekends.
Yeah.
We rent a beautiful space. It's a neutral space. Like the one we've done here is this beautiful property overlooking a river. It's like a restaurant event space. Have wonderful food. We break bread. Like we sing a song or two. We have discussion. Sometimes we have a panel. Sometimes we have like a speaker. Some we'll give gifts away. We honor men. It's just what I wanted to do is take the excellence, the energy, and the professionalism that we see a lot in the business world, but infuse it with the heart of the church. And that's what's been happening. But what's been neat though, is there's been donor, you know, business connectivity of people in the room. There's been mentor-mentee relationships that have formed. There's been groups of guys that have started meeting as a result of just connecting. And guys are like, I didn't know that person was a person of faith. I had no idea. And turns out they're going to start doing a business deal together. And there's a sense of community that's building within. But these people too, they're coming from different backgrounds too. So, I mean, we have people that are independent, people that actually that are borderline even on their faith. Yeah. There's guys who are Catholic, guys who are Methodist, guys who are, you know, Protestant. I mean, it's everything in between. We obviously we're in Springfield, so it's strong evangelical, Assemblies of God, Baptist. But I think there's something, I think guys want that. I think guys are looking for, they want to have engaging dialogue with people that, you know, are respectful of their perspective or their experiences, and we can engage in dialogue where maybe we don't agree on everything, but we can agree on a lot of things. And that's a really good place to start. And so, yeah, it's been special. Each one is similar, but different. I tell people we're meticulous about 80% of what happens. We have assigned seats. Like we're very, very specific, but we leave room for the Holy Spirit just to move. What happens. Like this first one we did, I had nine guys that came up to me and said, I didn't know how much I needed this.
Huh.
And a lot of those guys were on the verge of tears. I mean, one of them, he's a dentist, does very, very well. He comes up to me, he goes, you gave me three books tonight. He goes, the Lord told me I needed to read more this year and you gave me three books. And he like can barely hold it together.
Mm.
And I was like, you make plenty of money to buy as many books as you want to.
Yeah.
But it wasn't about the book. It was about seeing this man for who he was, not for what he produces. There's no cost for these guys. I've essentially tried to remove every barrier to why they would come. They don't even have to register. I sent an email. I said, just text me or email that you'll be there and we'll take care of you. That's it.
Mm.
And like guys are like, I can do that. And so, I mean, we're getting about a 93 to about a 97% RSVP rate on the last two ones. And so it's, we got a space problem, but it's been pretty special.
Yeah. So. And you're obviously tapping into something. There's marketing people listening right now going, first of all, that open rate, that RSVP rate is like, that's industry leading. And then the people that register, I was on the phone the other day with somebody planning a webinar and it was like, oh, we have 1,500 that register, but like 600 show up. So they're hearing your 93% show up rate going, all right, hold on. Do you do other consulting? Because I need to talk to you about how you do that. So let's go back to that point now. Okay, so they're in that room and I appreciate you painting that picture. That's really helpful.
Yeah.
So now they're talking. Okay, and again, let's go back to this deep conversation that they're having. Like what, in your mind, how would you define a deep conversation? And then if you also in your mind and talking about that, what distinguishes a deep conversation from other forms of dialogue that men may have?
Yeah. I would say a distinguishing factor is you move past the canned answer.
Okay.
And the emotion comes through. So, you know, like in the last couple gatherings, I'll just reference a few. Like we had a guy who leads a private equity firm and he's like, Peter, I can't wait to be there. And I said, I'd love to just, you know, I said, do you want to speak or do you want to do an interview style? He goes, honestly, he goes, I'm sure people are interested in my business background. We can talk about it for about 2 minutes. He goes, but I just want to get real with the guys. Hmm. And so before we even talked, I said, hey, this conversation is for the men that are in this room. We're not recording it. We're not posting it.
Yeah.
You know, you had to be in the room. And it went we just talked about things that guys usually don't talk about very openly, especially with people they don't know very well yet. And it just gave permission for, I think, everybody in the room. And it was special. And then the other thing we did that night, we had a panel of just sage businessmen that are very well known in our community, all men of faith, great leading men. They're all in their early to mid 60s, have led companies and families. And we had a discussion about legacy. We had a discussion about, you know, transitioning with businesses, starting companies. And then this last one, we had a panel with three brothers that are all very entrepreneurial, but they've gone through some heartache. They had their father tragically died about 12, 13 years ago. And they talked about their bond as brothers, their family ties and the importance of family. And they tied it into failure and what their parents taught them growing up. And so just some really meaningful conversation that is not... it's not canned. It's not like, you know, what you'd expect to read in a blog post, because like that just doesn't engage people. And so what I have found, especially with men, is the more that you can lean into story, the more powerful that conversation becomes. You know, scripture tells us we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And especially with guys, when guys are just real in dialogue and it comes out, I mean, the room is captured. And so guys are like, oh yeah, let's go there. This sounds great.
So managing that vulnerability then at the table. So are you, after these, you know, whether it be the panel or the person that talks or the interview, are you then now saying, all right, now we're going to transition and have a conversation around the table? Or like, and then are you giving them things to talk about, and are you giving them ground rules? I know I'm hitting you with a lot of questions.
No, these are great.
Just talk us through that.
Yeah. So yes and no. That's something my wife and I have talked a lot about, is how do we incorporate to take what's said and then transition it to, okay, guys doing this at the table. Mm-hmm. And because you don't want it to be forced, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, the last one we were thinking about doing that, but we decided not to. And so what we've done though, is we've built in times and breaks for guys just to talk and connect. So like when we first get there, we open the doors, we have some light apps, guys get to say hello. I say like a few 5-10 minutes of words, kind of setting the tone. And then we have a prayer. And then we have like 45 minutes to an hour where we're just eating and breaking bread and talking. So a lot of guys get that out. And then we kind of get into the deep stuff. And then guys, you just see guys start talking and connecting, you know? And so it's almost like, I really believe that the excellence in the room and creating the space where, no, this is a room of substance. Yes, the people, but more so like, there's meaning behind why we're here. I think it just, it brings about, I think, a certain level of conversation where guys are like, I want to have this dialogue. And I think when you give examples of what that looks like, guys are more willing to engage in that. And so I think the same token though, to answer your question, like I don't know everything that goes on. I hear about it though in the community, and I'll hear from guys who are like, oh yeah, so-and-so and I are getting together once a week now. And I'm like, really? I'm like, I had no idea. Okay. Or like, I hear from somebody and they're like, so-and-so has been at this event the last two times. I know it's invite only, but how do I get in that room? You know, or I had a guy at this last one. He's probably at the highest level of his profession in our region. And he hadn't been to the last two. And I mean, he was kind of dodging me, but I was like, he needs to be in this room. He just needs to
be
encouraged.
Was he invited?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he has, his wife left him a few years ago and he's got three teenage kids. And I said, you just need to show up. You just need to be there. And the last table gathering we had, it had a little bit more of a spiritual overtone. All of them do, but this one, there was just this emphasis on the place of prayer. And one of the men that led a session just said, hey, listen, sometimes we just need to be interrupted and ask for a miracle in our life. Hmm. And he texted me that night. He goes, I was one of those guys. He goes, I walked in there struggling with self-worth. I haven't been in church in a long time. I haven't read my Bible in months, but just being in this room with other men, praying, talking about faith, you know, we sing like a classic hymn or something acoustically. Mm-hmm. Guys just really relate with that. So all of that kind of just goes together. So
that's amazing. Well, it sounds like a great environment. And I know you would agree with this too, that like the curation of deep conversations, it's not just at these table gatherings. Yeah. There is a part of this to infiltrate all aspects of our life as men. And so let's talk to that guy that's like, okay, well, I don't live in Springfield. I'm in Birmingham, or, you know, I live in Las Vegas right now. And I have just some friends that I get together with.
Yeah.
I crave some of these deep conversations. And so what are some skills or techniques that you could share on how to navigate or start some of those deep conversations just in your own local context of, you know, just having dinner or coffee with a friend?
Yeah. I would say one of the things is to start from a place of edifying and encouraging. Hmm. And so rather than saying, hey, what's your deepest fear? I mean, most guys would be like, I don't want to talk about that. Or like, you know, what are you struggling with? Guys are like, oh, great. Here we go again. Like guys, when it comes to shame or pride, like we're just, you know, we don't really want to talk about those things.
No,
but historically we've really led with that in a lot of like group settings and circles. So I would just start with like, hey, I just want you to know, like I've seen the way that you've led your family in recent weeks or months. Like, and I'm really proud of you. And then just, I've seen that in you. Tell me, has something changed? Or like in a business setting or a company setting, be like, you guys are doing great. Like I've seen the company's been growing. You're adding new people. Like you've just had an energy about you. Where's this coming from? Like get a guys to talk about each other in an edifying, positive way. And then when you do that, what happens is it comes back to some of the root things. And so that's a place to go. We've put together actually a companion guide that we're going to put through the website. We're going to get this up here in the next few weeks. We were just talking about this yesterday. And it's a companion guide to the journal. And we're actually giving it away in audio form through the podcast. But I put together basically just like a statement and then a couple of questions that can just help open up dialogue around these topics that we talk about in the journal. But they're timeless conversations. And I think it's guys want to engage. They want to have meaningful dialogue and conversation. They want to go deeper, but I think it's asking the right questions.
Yes.
And so we recognize that. And so we've put that together to kind of help facilitate that a little bit. But I would say overwhelmingly, don't lead with shame. Don't lead with failure. Lead with victory. Lead with things that guys are like, no, this is a light thing I want to talk about. But then also I would say this, if you're the leader of a group, this is absolutely essential. If you're the leader of a group, you give permission. When someone tells a story or goes to a place and you kind of have to have the discernment in the group, right? Like if you just started meeting, you know, you don't want week one to be like, man, I've struggled with this for 30 years and I'm just in the pits. Like, I mean, you can, but like that, you know, but sometimes like if you're leading that group, you discern what's happening in the lives of those people. And then you bring that out. And I think when someone tells a certain story or something specific and goes there, it really gives permission to the rest of the guys in the space in the room. So, and I think there's always that catalytic moment where somebody does that and it really helps a lot. So,
yeah, I love that you're bringing up like learning how to ask good questions. I don't know what's going on in my world, but I feel like that is, the older I get, the more I come to realize I'm going to make a statement and then just like an observation, just how, say it candidly, how poorly most people are at asking questions.
Yeah.
And the observation is some of the people that I love being around the most in my life, are really excellent question askers.
Yeah.
And so I love what you're saying to the leaders there of, just learning how to ask a question. I love that you're trying to come up with some companion guides to help people learn how to ask questions. But what have you seen in your own life personally about the power of a well-asked question? Anything else there on the tone? Because questions, where I'm getting at here is it's kind of a double-edged sword. A question can come across very curious, but it can also come across like I'm trying to catch you, you know, and interrogate you. Anything that you have found to keep it on that side of genuine curiosity and away from that side of interrogation?
Yeah, I think you have to have a great level of discernment. If you are leading a group or if you're the one who's asking a question that could go either way, I think you just need to pause and say, okay, am I trying to get somewhere? Is there an angle with this question, or is there a way in which this might be received maybe in a different way? And if so, immediately relate that question back to myself and answer it in a way where the rest of the room, if they answer the same way that I just did in asking my own question, then they're like, oh, okay, well, they're not the only one.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like saying, you know, like this is something that, you know, in the last few months, like I've been really, you know, it's been interesting. I've been really anxious about some things with our finances, you know? And so, and then you just say an example, you say like, you know, I don't know why, but you know, we didn't do this and just, and you're almost answering your own question as you ask it. And then that gives permission or the guys are like, oh, okay. And so whatever that is, but then that goes back to, again, just having an awareness and a discernment for just the temperature of the guys that are in that group in that setting, you know? Yeah. And I will say this too. I think this is something too, is I think environment really matters. Mm-hmm. I think the place in which you're having this dialogue is incredibly important.
Yeah, I can hear that.
I think, and
I get that sense when you talk about your design and all
I think
that.
It does. And I mean, obviously ours is at a very, I would say, high excellence level, but you can filter that down on a 3 to 5. It just goes back to hospitality. Really at the root of all of this, Adam, is hospitality. Like we see the gospel as extravagant, lavish hospitality. It's not That's what so we good. Deserve. When guys walk into this space and they're like, I didn't even know. Wow. Like I'm used to just, you know, plastic pop-up tables and a taco bar and you're throwing gifts at me. You're throwing, you know, 24-hour smoked brisket, you know, or like, you know, chocolate lava cake or like crumble stuff. I mean, guys are just like, whoa, I think, but you can do that in 3 to 5, you know, if you do it once a month and you have guys over, you know, or you go to a space and you say, hey, I got everybody's dinner. We're going to so-and-so. I know it's $100 a person. It's on me. Guys will show up with an expectancy because they're like, this person sees me and they're honoring me. And so it'll go deeper faster just because it's the approach is not cheapened. And I think I think that's a big part of it is
that's huge.
It's like, I see you for who you are, not for what you're doing for me or what you can bring. And I value you as a person. And when you spend money or your resource, and I think guys respond to that. I think there's something there. So
yeah, Peter, I agree. I want to affirm that. I think you're onto something there. What it's reminding me of is that book from maybe 10 or 12 years ago, Love and Respect. Dr. Eggert's writing about love and respect, and what he said. I remember hearing from my wife when she read this section on respect, of just the thing he repeated over and over again when he was instructing wives on how to better relate to their husbands, was this idea of not looking at outcomes, but looking at intent.
Yeah.
And so he kept saying, you know, appreciate his desire. Like men, a lot of men are trying to do good things, they're trying to work hard. They're trying to slay dragons every day. And what I like what you're saying is try to appreciate their desire and find something in their life where they're winning.
Yeah.
And start by talking about that. And it could be as little as, you know, I see you out running, or, you know, something's going on with the business. But starting with that positive thing helps men feel affirmed, not because we're just these weak people that need, you know, like our parents telling us that we're amazing, but just because, man, life is hard. And a lot of times we feel like we're losing all the time. And so it's really great to celebrate some wins. And so I think you're onto something there, because that's what I'm hearing you say, right? Starting there with that affirmation really seems to open the door for a lot more depth after you do that.
I think there is something there. And I mean, listen, we know what we shouldn't be doing.
Right.
Like we know that. And so when we start there, it's like, I mean, just the, you know, your whole demeanor changes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, I think especially there was a leader, I think a leader of 3, 5, 50, 500, it doesn't matter. All are extremely important. I think you just have a discernment for those people and say, Lord, like what's going on in the lives of these people, and how can I lead them the way that you would want me to? And just being in tune with that and removing yourself and removing your expectation. One of the books that I would highly recommend is going back to everybody's favorite theologian, the great, you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he wrote this book on, you know, on community and like life together. And it was about these other theologians when they were in the school together and just the simple things that they did every day. And obviously we're not in school together. We can't do it every day, but he just really gives some great framework for what a community really looks like. And it removes the self entirely. And it's about everyone. And I think that's an incredibly important part. And this is the last thing I'll say, in a very transactional, self-seeking world, we are designed by a loving, kind, selfless God who gave himself for us, right? So we are hardwired to respond to that type of hospitality. Yeah. And so when we see it, like it just, we are drawn in. And so I think that's an important thing. And guys, for the most part, have not experienced that. Women have, because women are usually, they're just naturally better at that.
Yeah.
But guys, but that's the thing is I think guys don't realize how much they really want it and need it. I just say, just come show up. And they're like, I don't really know how to describe what just happened, but I will never miss that night. Like that's kind of what it is.
Yeah. It's funny because I'm going back to my old church days and thinking like, Oh, the women's gathering. I walked through it one time when I was leaving the office late, and I was like, this is an amazing environment. And the men, it's like, oh, y'all meet in the parking lot and
just throw axes.
Yeah. You know? And here's a big old tub of scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
You know, have
which,
at it.
You know, and, there's a place for that. Yeah. And like guys are still showing up for that. That's good. But I think there needs to be different ways in which we're approaching different segments of populations, both within in women and in men and in couples and young people. People respond to different things. And I think that's a good thing. That's a great thing. So,
yeah. Okay. Two more questions and then I'll let you go because we're getting close to our time here. But how do you see deep conversations changing now just in this whole post-pandemic digital world that was already there before the pandemic, but it just seems to have accelerated? Like you and I, this is our second conversation. We still haven't met face-to-face.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of this stuff, you know, where we're in this digital world, so much is texting, things like that. So I'm not railing against that technology, but just saying, that this idea for meaningful conversations and deep conversations among men in this digital world, thoughts, like what thoughts do you have there and how do you see that changing and what do we need to look out for?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, two things on that. Like texting is convenient. Zoom, I think Zooms have elevated the phone call. You know, people are just like, hey, you want to Zoom rather than traditional phone call.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. It brings a face. But we are limited by digital technology. We just are. Like when you're in a space physically with someone, you can see their voice inflections. We can hear them breathe. You know, we can obviously smell, the senses come alive and we're created for that. And so, you know, digital is great. Online is great, but people crave what's real. And I'm telling you where we're going as a society with the continued emergence of artificial intelligence and discerning what is real, what is not. People are going to be craving more and more what is real. And when you're in the same room and space as someone else, you know that that's real. And so I think the more that we can lean into that, I think there's going to be a lot of value there. There's a place for digital. There's a place for all of that. But relationship, community, even real true discipleship, you know, it happens in proximity. And that's where we're going very, very deep where we are. And we're looking at other places where we can potentially bring the table, just more of like casting a net for people that would have interest. But we're not saying yes everywhere because, you know, I don't believe that everything needs to be bigger and grow and be larger. Sometimes it's just going deeper and deeper and deeper. And so we're trying to build that and just learning about what that looks like for us here too.
Yeah. And, you know, as somebody who has been quote unquote, you know, kind of casually studying the church over the last 25 years, that is a movement that I'm seeing happen. And it's just an interesting movement where in the mid 90s, early 2000s, you know, it was a lot of big conferences, all this stuff. And now how many people are noticing how much energy and impact is coming from the smaller,
absolutely,
slightly more exclusive. So I think you guys are on the cutting edge with all that. Last one here is a little bit lighter, just other resources. You talked about Life Together, but other resources you would recommend for guys that are interested in deeper, more meaningful conversations with their sphere of influence. What would you recommend there?
Yeah. Life Together is great. I would say this, and just before I say the, you know, on that, is the other thing that we're trying to do with this, and I think this is a really important opportunity that we have, is to be a place of unity. There's so much divisiveness going on and happening.
So good.
And I think when Jesus calls us to be peacemakers, it's not to be passive and quiet, but it's to bring peace in chaos, right? And so I think we have a great opportunity with that. And so these table gatherings are also that, but it can be in a room of 5 to 10 to 15, maybe. It's bringing together select leaders or people from some different perspectives or backgrounds to say, hey, I'm going to bring these people together. And what happens is when you get those people in a room and you hear them speak and you maybe hear a story of theirs or you talk to them, you realize they are a human being. And when you can humanize someone, you speak to them differently and you speak about them differently, especially if you think much differently from them. And I think that is really important as we continue to share our faith and to lean into what it means to be an active follower of Jesus in our current cultural context.
That's so good.
I think that is an important thing. And that's why I'm bringing people together from a variety of different backgrounds. There's a guy that we've met three times since the first table or the second one. He came to the second one. And he's like, Peter, I'm not even an overly religious guy, but what is happening is so morally important for our community. I just want to be there and support you. And we've had some amazing conversations. And it's just been really life-giving for me because I'm like, this is a man that we disagree on some very fundamental things of our faith, of my faith, but it's not a dividing point for us. If anything, I want to get together with him more to understand. But I will say a place of unity is an important thing. And I think people are going to be looking for that. And so there's an opportunity for the church to be peacemakers. And I think it comes with sending out and commissioning those. But resources, life together is definitely, it's been something I've read consistently. I would honestly, I would just start there and read that over and over. I think there's something to be said for, this sounds terrible, books that were written before publishers made a ton of money off of them.
Yes. Well said. Telling you,
that book, it is a framework. It is a perfect framework for how we approach community. And I think it is the beacon that we can look to. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Peter, listen, I celebrate your courage, right?
Thank you.
What you did to first of all, to put this thing together. I remember being impressed with your thoughtfulness on design and the way design, I think, and like environments, again, that is something that quote unquote, women worry about, not men. And I love how you've gone, no. Like everybody appreciates good design.
Yeah.
And you put that together thoughtfully when you curated, you know, the journal volume one, the way you're now carrying that over into these table gatherings, just the thoughtfulness you're putting into this. So I know that took a lot of courage to leave the bank job. Listen, if there's a job that gets made fun of, it's bankers, right? Like they've got the easy job.
Well, I think that's,
and you left the easy job to go do something hard. Yeah. And I'm kidding. I know that.
Well, and that was one of the things is like it became like banking, the industry has changed so much, but the stereotypes are still there. But it has become a ruthless industry. It's very transactional. A lot of things have become that. But, you know, and that's why I love serving on a community level. But yeah, I was like, that was a pretty good gig. And then, you know, this is, I don't really know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, but we're going to go full steam and the
it's
Lord's
a fun
in
adventure.
It. So.
And like you said, you were just following the Lord. So he's got you and you can always go back.
But there's been miracles along the way where I'm like, we're right where we should be. Every time that I'm empty, the Lord shows up through someone else, an encouraging word, you know, a donor, something specific. Like God is so faithful. He is so faithful. And
listen, I've made two or three of those massive career transitions as well. Maybe we bring you back on and we'll just talk about those because I think there is something instructive for a lot of men on that. Cause there's probably a lot of men sitting there just going, hey, I kind of have a dream of something different.
Oh man.
I've got the conviction.
I'd love to talk about
it. I don't have the courage yet.
Yeah.
Right. And that courage to do that is something. So we'll tease that episode for later.
That sounds good.
I can record that one. So, brother, you are a blessing and keep
Thank
it
you.
Up. I'm excited to continue to watch you guys and it's fun to support what you all are doing. What you all are doing is at the heart of Better Man and as well. So it's fun I had a guy years ago that said, friends, one of the best things you can do with your friends is to share your other friends with your friends.
Yes.
And so it's fun to share you again with all the Better Man friends that we've got out there so that people will follow along. So keep
Thank
it
you.
Up, man.
Thank you
and
so much.
For being
I appreciate
on the podcast.
That.
Hey brothers, if we want to finish strong, we need to start strong. And I can't think of a better way to start your day than with some encouragement from God's Word. That's what Better Mornings, the Better Man Daily Devotional, is all about. Start your morning with Better Mornings and be the man God has called you to be. Check out the link in the show notes or visit betterman.com/resources and sign up for Better Mornings, the Better Man Daily Devotional.